Magnify the Lord. Beautiful. I don't know if you noticed, Chris was up here on the drums. Nice job, Chris. All the ladies were up front, so very nice. If you have your scriptures with you this morning, please turn to John chapter 5, verses 19 through 29. The Gospel according to John 5, verses 19 to 29. If you have the Pew Bible, if you want to follow along, I think it's page 890. This morning we come to a text that is heavy, it is weighty, and it is indeed holy. In this passage that we will be reading this morning, Jesus clearly is explaining his divinity, his authority, his power over life and judgment, and it commands our attention. It commands us to listen and to believe. So let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would attend the reading and preaching of your word. It's my prayer that they would hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would see him more than just merely a man, but God. The God who created everything. The God who would take on flesh and step into time. The God who has all authority over life, to give it, to take it, and to judge. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move and that we would see and hear him. And when he gives out the call of good news, that we would hear, that we would believe, that we would receive, that we would have eternal life, that we would pass through the judgment forgiven. So Lord, we pray your Spirit would do his mighty work, that he would pierce the darkness of our hearts of sin, of selfishness, of broken, of hurt, of pain, and you would bring the light of healing, the light of joy, the light of forgiveness, the light of Christ. We pray that you would do that this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. John 5, verses 19 to 29, please hear God's word. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son, shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these he will show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word, believes in him who sent me, has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." This ends the reading of God's word this morning. This dialogue that we have just read through from Jesus follows up on a passage from last week. I know that some of you weren't here, but it was a passage where Jesus healed an invalid, somebody that was somehow paralyzed for 38 years, and Jesus goes to him and heals him on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was a day of rest from work and labor. The religious figures at that time were at their wits' end. They couldn't believe it that Jesus was doing healings on the Sabbath and telling this man to pick up his bed and carry it. They couldn't believe it. They thought Jesus was nuts. You're breaking the law of God. In verse 17, just before our passage, Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." When God the Father created the world, and God the Son created the world, they created it in 6 days, and on the seventh day they rested from creation. But it doesn't mean that God stopped working. He is ruling, he's governing and preserving all that he's made. And Jesus says, "He is working, and I am working until now." In verse 18, this is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill Jesus, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he's even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. You have to feel this. There's a man like me walking around saying, "God's my Father, and I am equal with him." How would you react? How would you respond? Jesus is making himself equal with God. Jesus could have denied it. He goes, "No, that's a silly notion. Don't think that. I'm not God." Jesus could have corrected it and said, "No, I'm just a teacher. I'm a great prophet. I'm just another guy just like you." But here Jesus affirms it and he elaborates upon it. He is equal with God. It's a truth that demands our attention. It's a truth that demands our allegiance. And it's a truth that demands your honor. This Christmas, we are considering Christ and growing in our honor of Christ. He was one who was longed for and awaited for by the prophets of old. He is the promised one in the line of David for a king to come, and he is here. He's the one that the angels would show up in the shepherd's field and say, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to whom God's peace is well to rest." He's the one that the wise men would come and seek and worship. The baby born in a manger stall is none other than the eternal God in flesh. This morning from our text, God the Father calls you to find eternal life and pardon from sin by submitting to this Jesus and honoring this Christ. There's eternal life in him. There's pardon in him. But you have to have a heart that honors him as who he is, as the God who took on flesh. And this morning I ask you, do you have a heart that honors Christ? Maybe you just see him as another average Joe walking down the sidewalk. Maybe he's someone you just kind of relegated to the past. The question that you need to answer for yourself this morning is, do I honor Christ as the God who took on flesh? 3 points that we'll consider this morning as we think about honoring Christ. We honor Jesus for he is divine. We honor Jesus for he is divine. Look again at verse 19. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly," it's the Greek word amen. We usually end our prayers with amen. Jesus starts, "Amen, amen." "Truly, truly," he's getting your attention. He says, "I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son, shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these he will show him, for so that you may marvel." Jesus is the great revealer of who God is. He starts to explain his relationship with the Father. "I only do what I see the Father doing. I can't do nothing of my own accord. I do exactly the same will, the same desire, the same passions of the Father." There is an interconnectedness. There is a sameness, a union, even though there is a distinction. God, as we see the scriptures unfold, is a triune God. If you noticed in your bulletin at the beginning of worship, we said we worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus is starting to give us further revelation of how this unpacks, how it unfolds. There is one God. And the mysteriousness of this holy God, that in this oneness there is a plurality. There is Father, there is Son, there is Holy Spirit, all eternal, equal in power and glory, yet there is a distinction. Jesus is not the Father. The Father is not Jesus. Holy Spirit is not the Father. But they all have the same will, same desire and passion. There is this one being, and they're working out a plan of redemption. And each has a role to play. The Father chooses a people to save for himself. He sends his Son to rescue, to redeem, to live, die, and resurrect. And the Holy Spirit takes that work of Christ and he awakens us to the reality of it. So Jesus is saying, I just do what God the Father is doing. He's saying, I am equal with God. Yes, I'm just distinct from the Father, but I have equal authority. I have equal power. In fact, he's placed judgment in my hands. He's placed life in my hand. And God would not entrust that kind of power to some human being like me or with you. That would be nuts. But he entrusts that kind of power to the eternal Son of God. This passage also reveals the heart of the Father. Hear what he's saying. Jesus is doing the desires of the Father. So when Jesus turns water to wine, when he heals a nobleman's son, when he heals an invalid on Sabbath to give him rest, this is not only Jesus' heart, this is the heart of the Father himself as well. Sometimes we think the Father is the mean, old, grumpy guy, and Jesus is the compassionate, cool guy. No, the Father has the same compassion, love, and mercy. When you see Jesus, you see the heart of God, the Father. Again, Jesus is embracing the notion he is equal with God. He's laying out a theology of the Godhead, and he's now saying, I have life. This guy standing before you, I have the power of spiritual life and physical life in my hands, and I give it to whoever I will. I have the power of judgment. And he said, I will demonstrate that these truths are true because greater works than these I will show you that will make you marvel. And it won't be too long from now that we'll get to John chapter 11. We'll come to the story of Lazarus to demonstrate Jesus has authority over life. He goes to Lazarus, who's his best friend, a close friend. He could have went, and he could have went before this man died. But he waits 2 days till he dies. Because he wants to demonstrate that he has authority over life. That he is the resurrection of life. He goes, and he eventually gets there, and the women come to him, and they're weeping. Jesus, if you could just been here, you could have healed our brother. He says, it's good I wasn't here. I'm going to show you greater things that will make you marvel. And this man who's been dead 4 days in the tomb, he goes up to this tomb and he says, roll the stone away. And you're like, Jesus, the body's been there for 4 days. It's going to stink. He said, roll the stone away. And he rolls the stone away and he looks in that grave and says, Lazarus, come forth. And a body that was dead for 4 days, no pulse, no heartbeat, no lungs moving, no brain stimulation. He gets out and he walks. He has authority over life. His authority over death. It's one thing to raise someone else from the dead. That's miraculous and shows his divinity of itself. But his own resurrection. The death of Lazarus and the resurrection of Lazarus kicks in this hostility. This man who says he's divine, and we've seen he raised somebody from the dead, but they still want Jesus dead. And they nail him to a cross as he goes as our substitute, as our atonement. He goes, he lays down his life, but because he's the eternal Son of God, he's fully God, fully man. As the humanity of Jesus dies, 3 days later, the divinity of Jesus raises his body. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all have a role in the resurrection as well. Jesus says, I have authority to lay down my life. I have authority to take it up again. And he demonstrates it in his own resurrection. There are signs. There are miracles. We honor Jesus not because he's just another guy. That he's just a wonderful baby and it gives us funny feelings and warm inside and drink hot cocoa. We honor Jesus because he's the divine, eternal Son of God who takes on flesh and he commands our attention and he commands our honor, not only one day a week or 2 days a week, but through our lives. We honor Jesus because he's divine. The second point we see is we honor Jesus because he has the power of life and the power of judgment. Skip with me down to verse 25. Again, truly, truly, he wants your attention. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming. It's now here. When the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. For he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he's the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. In this short section, Jesus mentions 2 hours. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now. And then in 28, do not marvel, for there is an hour coming. The first hour, which is now, is the day of salvation. When the spiritually dead are hearing the things of Christ, when the spiritually dead are hearing the living hope of Christ, that there's an answer to death, there's an answer to disease, there's an answer to sin, and the Spirit of God awakens them, they come to life. Jesus, the disciples, the R.C. Sprouls, the Martin Luthers, you and me are going around proclaiming this living hope of Christ and people are coming to life. Jesus says that hour is now. Today is the day of salvation. Where there's once no honor in someone's life, they come to see the sweetness and the greatness of Christ and they become tender and they just want to worship Christ. They want to turn from a life and path of destruction to a life of hope, of peace, and forgiveness. That hour is now, and he says, come. Come experience this salvation. Come experience this peace. I grant life. And it makes all the difference. One of my favorite songs is, And Can It Be? One of the verses says, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. I just feel the burden and the weight of my sin. It says, God's eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke and the dungeon flamed with light and my chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. The hour is now. Jesus is speaking through his word, through his people, and he's rescuing and redeeming, and the hour is now. When he says that the dead will hear the Son of God and will live, it's the spiritually dead who are awakened to new life in Christ. We are celebrating the Christmas season. And when the angel tells them, you shall name him Jesus, this is the reason why. For he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. Not that hopefully he will save them, not he will try to save them, but Jesus will be the Lamb and save his people from their sins. He speaks of a second hour that is coming. And that points to the final resurrection and judgment. Jesus will speak to the graves as he spoke to Lazarus' tomb, and bodies will come forth. When we die, our bodies go to be with the Lord, if we've trusted the Lord. If we haven't trusted the Lord, when we die, our souls who believe go with Jesus. Those who do not trust in Jesus are separated from the grace and kindness of God and only experience torment. There's a resurrection coming. When Jesus returns, there will be a resurrection, and our souls will reunite with our bodies. That body is of extreme importance, and Jesus will raise it again. No matter where it's located, Jesus will give a shout, he will give a command, and those bodies will come forth. I think you're standing there by the graves and just seeing these bodies resurrect. Souls reunited. You are to be a body and soul entity forever. And he says there is a resurrection to life and a resurrection to judgment. There's no annihilation. When you die, you just don't just disappear. There's no reincarnation. You won't turn into a fluffy bunny. There's no dissolving back into the universe. This is the words of Jesus. He's saying, there is a day coming. I will speak and the bodies will rise, that there will be a resurrection either to life or to judgment. You will give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, to those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Is he saying that we are saved by works then? If you hear, I'm always saying we're saved by grace in Christ alone. John, throughout his gospel, is trying to convince you that Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. So what is Jesus saying? Those who have done good and those who have come evil. Well, sadly, we can go around and we can profess that we love Jesus, right? But our works will show who we truly honor. So works are a fruit. Works are a magnifying glass of who or what we truly honor. So you can say you love Jesus, but your life, your actions, your thoughts, your words will evidence self where it's plain and clear of who or what you honor. So we're not saved by works. We're saved by who we honor, who we trust in, and it evidences itself through your life. So the question is, do you honor Christ? You may be asking, well, how? How do I honor him? And our last point is, we honor Jesus by hearing, by believing, and by receiving. Hearing his word, believing his word, and receiving him as Lord, as the God-man, God in the flesh who deserves all honor. Verse 23. That all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word, believes in him who sent me, has eternal life. He does not come into judgment. He has passed from death to life. Do you hear that? If you are fearful of the judgment of God because you know you have sinned, hear what Jesus is saying. If you believe in me to be the Savior of the world, the one who can atone for your sins, if you truly believe that I am the God-man in flesh, you have passed from judgment to life. That should make you forever grateful. Where you have a heart that turns from the sin that was destroying you and your relationships and taking you to a path of destruction, and that you desire to honor and to follow him. It says, he who hears my word and believes has eternal life. It's not in our works. It's not in our efforts. It's in those who honor Christ as Lord. The idea is to regard, to reverence, to set a high price on. There was much to do this NFL season about honoring the flag. When people were sitting down or kneeling, and I'm not getting to the debate of all that. I appreciated the passion to honor. And the thought was, do I honor the Lord Jesus Christ with that kind of passion? Does the church of God honor Jesus with that kind of passion? That I want Jesus to stand at attention. That when his word is read, that I have ears to hear. When songs of the gospel are played, I long just to worship and to say thank you. That when I see somebody in need, I will lend a hand. When somebody offends me, I am quick to forgive. When I want to just live life and I have nothing else to give. I say it's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand, but he is the God and I will trust him and I will honor him. We honor Jesus by hearing, believing, and seeing. And it says you have eternal life. Listen, if you honor Christ, if you know Christ, if you've humbled yourself and you've trusted in Christ, he says you possess eternal life. It's yours. You can experience today and it will go on forever. It's a certainty. It's yours to own now. Don't be one of those people that you don't know what you possess. One of my shows that I like to watch is American Pickers. Just a week or two ago, somebody had an oil can that he paid only $3 for. But this is no ordinary oil can. It was a very early Harley Davidson oil can. And it turns out that oil can that man had was worth thousands and thousands of dollars. When we trust in Christ, when we receive Christ, sometimes we think it's not enough to get us through the judgment. It's not enough to give us eternal life. But you must know that when you honor Christ, when you receive Christ, you possess the divine Son of God, one of infinite worth, whose blood is enough to atone for every sin. And he's overcome the grave. Know who you possess in your faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. That same song, "And Can It Be," has one more verse. When you believe in Christ, hear this: "No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him my living head. Clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. No condemnation now I dread." It's all in Christ. It's honoring Christ. And that's more than lip service. It's a surrendering to the God who is Lord, the eternal Jesus Christ. We honor Jesus for he is divine. We honor Jesus because he has the power of life and judgment in his hands. We honor him by hearing, believing, and receiving. God the Father calls you to find eternal life and pardon for your sin in the eternal Son of God. Do you have a heart that honors him? He's King. He is Lord. Know him this morning. If you have questions about that, see me sometime. Just get quiet with God today, tomorrow, over Christmas, and be in awe of this God who's eternal, infinite, unchangeable, yet takes on human flesh to come and rescue his people. Talk to him. Honor him. Follow him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the Word, that you are the full expression and revelation of who God is. Thank you for not leaving us in the dark. Thank you for not leaving us in our sin. Thank you for not leaving us in our despair. Help us see the greatness and the wonder and the mercies that are ours in you. Forgive us for not having hearts that honor you as King, a God who comes close, a God who is willing to call us friend. Help us to honor you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.